This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everybody. It's Donna and Steve. My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Holly Roberts joins us for Hour 1 each day. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning.
Ooh, Steve is in his closet as we speak. Looking pretty good, though, I must say.
You mean that?
Yeah.
Thanks, Donna. You know, I feel like my facial hair is at the right, as I'm seeing myself right now, outside of this situation that I'm working on my forehead. Yeah, the facial hair is at the right spot. I'm wearing a white crew neck sweatshirt, and that might be helping the light stay a little bit more even on my face, you know? It's all about your environment with these lights and what they go to. What are you going to say?
I just really appreciate the fact that, you know, you did your hair, you put on a clean shirt.
It's funny that you say that. That is so funny. I, this morning, have been to school to pick up a sick child.
Oh, no.
I will give this person the benefit of the doubt for the time being. I have my suspicions.
I will remain silent on that.
Thank you very much.
On the air anyway.
So, yeah, I'm going to get the email, the text from Donna next break. Why are your kids always sick? You live in a filth factory. Don't bring what they have. Also, hope everyone's okay. But so anyway, the funny thing you say about my hair is I then had to go into the office, into the nurse's office and get him. And, you know, I had like one of those chopper hats on or like full blown fur situation.
Elmer Fudd.
So then I took that hat off and then just went like this and just like ran my fingers through my hair. And it looks, if you were in person with me, you wouldn't think my hair was done, but I'm glad that it's putting off that lie.
Well, we just saw Julia.
Oh, was she in studio?
No, Julia was at home, and okay. We can all see one another, but you could tell. I mean, Julia just rolled out of bed.
She has, I mean, just know this from a couple.
Yeah, like going in every direction.
There's that famous Project Down and Dirty picture or video of when she came in and Jason and Alexis were broadcasting, and she was like, what are you guys doing? And they were like, we're on the air, you know. And her hair,
she's like,
I remember
you guys
being.
Keep it down. She's like, they're like, we're working.
Some people have more bedhead than others. And she kind of reminds me of like, my littlest daughter has bedhead to the extreme when she wakes up. Some people's hair just goes wackadoodle in the morning.
I hear you. All right. Well, I hope your child feels better. And that is sincere, I swear. Sad news. I didn't hear about this, but apparently last week, Laverne and Shirley star Cindy Williams, who played Shirley, passed away after a brief illness. She was 75 years old. Is this have you seen any of the Laverne and Shirley, Steve? I know, Holly, you may
only
have.
little bits and pieces. My mom used to always talk about Squiggy.
So fun. And the big ragu. Well, Cindy and Penny Marshall were a writing team for Francis Ford Coppola for like $30 a day. When they were tapped to play these fast girls who double date with Fonzie and Richie on an episode of Happy Days. So this, okay. And this was a spinoff of Happy Days. They were two characters. They were very entertaining. The show debuted at number one in 1976. It went on for 8 seasons. But then there was a contract dispute, and Cindy Williams was written out of the final season. I feel like, didn't they, Holly, does this ring a bell? Didn't they do some kind of reunion where they wouldn't talk to each other and they were sitting like right next to each other? Am I imagining that?
I don't know. I can't confirm that.
Okay, so you're telling me there was tension.
The last season of Laverne and Shirley was just Laverne?
I think so.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, we were talking about this a little bit on the morning show, and according to Jason, what he said is that Cindy Williams was wanting to be on maternity leave, and she was negotiating with the network, with ABC, on how to do that. They wouldn't budge. Penny Marshall left to do the last season of Laverne and Shirley on her own.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, okay. So, she was also in American Graffiti. She auditioned to be Princess Leia in Star Wars. So, we have a few clips of Cindy Williams. Here she is talking about how quickly the show Laverne and Shirley began after Gary Marshall, the creator of Happy Days, asked her and his sister Penny to guest on that show, Happy Days, as Fast Girls.
She said, I've got this episode of Happy Days, and I need two girls, and they're going to be the dates of Fonzie gets Ronnie a date.
So, Cheryl, what do you think of this kid? You've been with worse?
Oh, he's nice, and a tie, too.
And then 3 weeks later, they called and said, ABC loves this show. And we said, what show? And they said, they love you and Penny, and they want to do a spinoff. And we didn't know what a spinoff was.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hasenbeff Incorporated.
Oh, I got goosebumps. Wow. And then, by the way, a couple of years, skipping one here, Halls, a couple of years before Cindy Williams would be Ron Howard's date on Happy Days, like we just heard, she was also his girlfriend in the 1973 movie American Graffiti. She tells the story about turning down this role, even though she won it. She won the road, the role, excuse me. She was jet lagged. She just came back from Spain when she had auditioned in front of George Lucas, who was an unknown at that time. Here's what she had to say.
I dragged myself over there and I was like half asleep, but George Lucas, I went in to meet him and he was half asleep. And it was described to me as being directed by one of the writers who is this new prodigy. And I looked at him when I'm... I don't think so. I auditioned with Ron Howard. That was the first time I ever met him. He was like 17 or something. We finished the screen test and I went home. And then they called and they said, okay, you got the part. And I said, you know, I can't do it. I can't. I've just got to sleep. I can't. And finally, Francis Ford Coppola called me, who was producing it. And I thought it was a joke on the phone. And he said, Cindy, you really want to do this movie? Okay. And I said, I'm in.
There you go.
How about that? Ron Howard tweeted, her unpretentious intelligence, talent, wit, and humanity impacted every character she created and person she worked with. We were paired as actors on 6 different projects.
Wow.
American Graffiti, a couple of dramas, and then Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. Lucky me, R.I.P. Cindy. That's from Ron Howard.
Oh, I have goosebumps. Cindy said that when George Lucas did American Graffiti, Ron Howard, Richard Dreyfuss, and her, they all auditioned for another idea he had. And that would be a small movie called Star Wars.
Oh, hey.
Do you want to hear her audition as Princess Leia?
Oh, I'd love to, yeah.
Okay, here's a little bit of that.
When little R2 has been safely delivered to my forces, you'll receive your reward. You have my guarantee.
I said, well, where is this planet? He goes, out there. George said, it's out there. What am I looking at? And he said, you're watching your entire planet be destroyed. Your record collection. Everything is going.
Your record collection!
The plants, sure. Loved ones, yes. But my records?
Very sad. She was only 75 years old. Cindy Williams, a.k.a. Shirley from Laverne and Shirley, R.I.P.
Coming up here today on the rest of the Donna and Steve experience, we, of course, at 10:30 will play the College of Pop Culture Knowledge. Rock O'Clock happens at 11:30. We think there might be a hipstery lesson today where he teaches us some hipster things. We're not totally sure. We'll find out at 11:30 today. How about this, though? When we return, I stumbled on some random little behind-the-scenes quips about working on reality shows.
Mm.
And then it really got me thinking about one of my favorite long since dead reality shows that I think they should bring back if they haven't tried to already. We'll get into all that when we return. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk.
Good morning. Welcome back. Appreciate you guys listening to the Donna and Steve Experience on My Talk 107.1. Everything Entertainment.
I didn't even ask.
Hey,
I'm so sorry.
No,
Donna, you were in the middle of a really Emmy Award winning intro. Did we win any My Talk Awards this morning?
Guess what?
What?
We did.
Did we? What category?
We won two. Guess which ones?
The
Today we did Most Valuable Celebrity, Best Actress, and Best Movie.
I think we won Best Actress, Best Movie, not Most Valuable Celebrity.
You're close.
All right.
We did not win Best Actress. We won the other two.
So
yeah!
Harry...
Woo!
Prince Harry was our Most Valuable Celebrity.
Correct.
And the Best Movie, what did we say?
Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, TGM.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not bad. So we've got two right now. I think we've got the most of all, unless the Academy's got two. Then we're tied up.
Oh, this is exciting. Wow.
I know.
And I'm in tomorrow defending some other stuff. I look forward to the opportunity.
Yeah, stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
it's going to be good. I'm going to tell them like it is. There's one that I know about. One of the topics tomorrow, I feel pretty in the know about what I'm defending. I forget what it is. It'll be exciting in the moment. That's what living is.
Well said, Steve. Thanks. Go get them, team.
Yeah.
I saw an article on DeefSub. Have you seen this website?
No.
Actually, I read that backwards. BuzzFeed. And they had this list of just random little people who have been on reality shows and what they thought of it and what's real and what's fake. So I kind of, it was clickbaity, but I was interested. So I started reading through. In the end, the main reason I bring this up is because of the show that it reminded me of, the reality show that it reminded me of that I used to watch all the time. But we'll start with a couple of quips from the BuzzFeed article. Somebody said I was on House Hunters International. The cool thing was that all the crew was local to the country I was in, so I was able to get some great places to check out. However, the amount we filmed for a 22-minute show was hilarious. I had to redo things because they wanted a reaction that was mad, happy, annoyed, etc. I was also too nice about each place, and I didn't argue with the realtor enough, so I had to fake being mad with him while off camera we were singing and dancing together. It was great. House Hunters International. Judge Judy. I was on Judge Judy. I've always wondered what these people are told beforehand and after. The only thing that they told us was she gets paid to be a jerk. It's all real. So if you've ever wondered if Judge Judy stuff is sort of drummed up a little bit, this person at least would say, nope, it wasn't. Years ago, my daughter made it to the final casting for The Real World.
Mm.
They had a group of finalists in a room, and then one of the producers said, Rihanna and Chris Brown, discuss. And then that's how they were judging. How opinionated will they get?
Oh, my gosh, that's interesting.
Will they get argumentative? Stuff like that. I auditioned for Master Chef. You are required to bring an already prepared signature dish. They do state that the judges will not be considering temperature of dishes since it's difficult to keep food warm for hours. So when you audition, you've got 90 seconds to plate your dish from your coolers. And then the judges walk around, they taste the dishes, they get feedback. You're asked to stay back for additional questioning, or you get a, we'll update you. The experience was overall very pleasant. The hardest part is the wait, but this person said I was one of the first people in line, so I didn't have to endure that so much. Somebody else said, I knew someone who went on Storage Wars.
He said I used to watch that a lot.
Oh, my dad used to love this show. He said, I knew someone who went on Storage Wars. He said it was all fake. They told him what to say on camera. And if you go back and watch Storage Wars, oh, some realities drip in their scriptedness. And others leave you kind of guessing, like, was that a real moment or what? Storage Wars. There were a couple other, like, A&E shows that just felt so staged. And
oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. Go back and watch an episode of Storage Wars. These people are being fed lines by producers. Look over this way. Now pretend that you just...
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Got an offer that came through your phone. Watch them. Okay. How can you not?
I feel that way about Bachelor and Bachelorette and even Real Housewives to some extent. Mm. It just feels nobody acts the way that sometimes these people act on screen. And I think they need to beef up the drama to keep your job, your storyline alive, or to create a storyline that you might not as a human being feel personally. You know, you might not have those real feelings, but a producer gets in your ear. What was the show on Lifetime about Bachelorette? Oh, God, what was it called?
I do not remember.
Well, it was put on by a bunch of former producers of The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
A few years ago, right? A few years ago.
Yes, obsessed with it. Anyway, continue. I'll get the name of it.
Now I really just get to, somebody said that they had a friend who was on a spinoff of this reality show, and it wasn't all that great of an experience, blah, blah, blah. But it got me thinking about the original version of this show, which I loved, which I'm sure had scripted elements to it. But did you used to love the show What Not to Wear on TLC?
Oh, absolutely.
What a wonderful show that was. I could watch that.
If you want to feel bad about your wardrobe.
Well, listen, some people need straight talk. Was it a surprise? Would they surprise the people at the beginning and kind of ambush them like, hey, your wardrobe, wouldn't they like catch somebody walking into work and be like, hey, Susie?
Yeah, your friends think you need a, you know, because you're always in sweatshirts and jeans.
Oh, no!
I know, any of us at any time could be eligible for this. But then you would have Clinton and, oh, goodness, the female co-host who I enjoyed.
Oh, she's great,
Stacey. Stacey, yes. Stacey, and they would go in. And they would they gave such practical advice, though, I thought. And then they would take people, and I imagine, think of someone hypothetically in your life who struggles with change. I'll pull Donna out of thin air. I would imagine you being on that show, and then them putting you in a dressing room, and then saying, try this, this, and this. And then invariably, you would have the people on What Not to Wear coming out, and you, the viewer at home, would be like, oh, that looks really good. And they would say, I don't know, this just isn't me, and I've never had a shirt fit like this. What they were doing was putting them in clothes that actually fit, because sometimes you might have a person who was of a certain size trying to wear, thinking that if they wore the shirt one size, even the opposite sometimes, one size too small sort of made them feel smaller. But then you're right, also you get the flip side, which was baggy, which made them look bigger, look like they were wearing a parachute.
Right.
They would go through all that. Then they'd go and get their hair cut. Then they would have the grand reveal of all the friends and family saying, we knew we'd love you more if you look better. And they'd be at a restaurant. They'd be at a restaurant waiting for the person to come in. And then they would cheer for them and they looked better. The significant others would see them. I loved the show What Not to Wear.
Thank you. And the show I was thinking of is called Unreal on Lifetime. And the woman who starred in it was so stinking good. What's her name? Guys, you'd know it if I said it.
Oh, that person.
That's the one. No, I'm going to say her name. And you're going to go, well, Steve, you're going to go, I don't know who that is. Constance Zimmer.
Mm.
Fantastic. Great actress.
Why did you just text me, Donna?
Because you texted me earlier.
I know, but we then just spoke about... I texted you earlier. did we win anything at 8:51? We just had the conversation on the air.
I did it too.
Is that?
It was a joke.
It was a joke. Okay. So it's not like a you thing where you have to tie up a loose end. Don't let any text go unanswered no matter how long.
Maybe there's a little bit of that, you know, obsessive compulsive disorder. I don't know. It simmers under the surface.
Rony chatter next. What?
Hey, guys. Welcome back. You're listening to Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. Woo! We're talking about reality shows just a moment ago, and now I'm seeing this headline in page 6 that says Bravo's classic Real Housewives of New York City is dead. Wow. This is coming from page 6. They said that it was contract negotiations for the version of the show that featured the cast of Luann de Lesseps, Ramona Singer, Sonia Morgan. Their negotiations had stalled. And so word is that Bravo has rescinded its offers to the talent. It is currently having no plans to put the show on, which was rebranded as the Legacy Edition last year. I didn't even notice that.
Oh, I like that. The Legacy Edition.
Yeah, they got an all new reboot of The Real Housewives of New York City in production right now.
So, all new people.
All new people.
Unbelievable. I am kind of open to that. Because after a while, you're like, oh, great. I got to deal with Ramona again. Now, sources are stressing that the network never says never and that the show could be revived in some form in the future. You know, I think they did this with Real Housewives of Miami. They pulled it and then years later brought it back.
Sure.
Like 8 years later. But, you know, I haven't watched any of the super shows. Have you, Holly?
No, I'm not. I don't dabble in the Real Housewives universe. I don't.
You're so lucky. It's hard to get that time back.
Oh, go ahead. I watched one episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, only under the most persistent of suggesting by Don and Donna.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the Hilton. Miss Hilton was on it.
Yes, that's right, Kathy
Hilton. And this was around the time that the blonde, I know that only narrows it down so much, but the blonde-haired woman.
Sonia?
Older husband, they split.
Erica Jane?
That's her.
Yes.
She came in and was talking, and there was some drama, and it was a very fancy lunch. I believe Brandy Carlisle?
Glanville?
That's it.
This is fun.
Was there. And I remember Kathy Hilton being peculiar in that episode, and the other ladies, and I'll just call it like I see it, seemed like they had some questions about Erica Jane and the emotion that she was bringing to this brunch.
Yes. You know, I think what had happened was Erica had to keep a poker face about what she was going through and what, you know, she was probably getting legal advice that said you can't talk about A, B, C, or D. But the women wanted answers to a variety of questions, which Erica kind of withheld. But yet she needed to keep her job because she was about to lose a lot of money. So any who's all.
I might dabble in the new Real Housewives of New York City, though. One of the cast members is Jenna Lyons.
And she's a J. Crew person?
Yes, and I love her.
Really?
Oh.
If I don't know anything about her, what should I know about her, Jenna Lyons?
She used to be the creative director for J. Crew back in the day. Like 10, 15 years ago, when everyone wanted to have that J. Crew look.
Yeah.
It was because of Jenna Lyons. Now she's moved on to other business ventures. She's just a cool cat. And I will just follow her around just to take in her essence.
Oh, interesting.
But I'm very curious about how she's going to embrace the Real Housewives universe.
I would watch this one too, because it's going to be more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be people maybe we don't know about that much, and it'd be fun to learn about somebody new. I loved when Carol was on. Carol Kennedy adjacent.
Ratzewell?
Yes. Yes, I really liked her. I think it was like an interesting balance of different types of people.
I think I might have an idea for how you can make this show more interesting.
Okay.
As they try to reinvent. I think there would be a very interesting dynamic if you had, and I know it wouldn't work because then this person would be the pure plant. They don't know each other. I don't know how well these women know each other before these shows, but it's presumed they at least bump into each other from time to time. But imagine in Real Housewives of New York, if they had five key characters who were all very well-to-do and all that kind of stuff, and one person who was working two jobs...
Right.
Just hustling around.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm thinking like these powerful superhero single moms out there who just get bleep done. And then they bring them to one of these tables. And I'm thinking back to the Beverly Hills brunch when it was just, I mean, you know, oh, the level of money that was there was prevalent.
Yes.
And then if you bring one person in who's just funny and cut through the crap and was like,
rolls her eyes at them.
Wouldn't that be great?
God,
and then one of them starts to complain about, like, you know, Dolce & Gabbana wouldn't accept my return or whatever. And then you keep, maybe what I'm thinking is a Saturday Night Live sketch. Maybe that's how it would play better. Like, one person won their way on to the Real Housewives and totally screwed up the mystique that it had, the vibe that it had.
Like, why does everyone have to be super rich? That's what I want. Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's like, maybe it would be more fun to do Real Housewives of, like, I don't know,
Coon I don't
Rapids.
Think so.
You know, people who are real.
I don't think so, because we love watching rich people do rich people things.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I think, I don't know if it's rooted as much in vanity or curiosity of how the other half lives. You know, not just like the well-to-do, I got a raise at my job, but these people are generally filthy rich. So it is curious to see inside of their lives. But man, it would be great if a fly in the soup kind of a thing. If you just had someone who came in and everybody else is done up, they've got their little cute brunch hats on and the violins are playing, and then somebody comes in late still wearing the name tag from work. They're like, sorry, it's been a day. You know,
yeah.
And it would be great. I would love that.
Well, you know, there was one, I don't know if it was Orange County, it had to be Orange County, where there was a girl named Gina who's from the East Coast, and she was going through a divorce, blah, 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 and she ended up having to downsize her home. So, like, when people would come to her new home, it would be like, oh, this is cute. You know, like, oh, how cozy. You know, when it was, like, a perfectly nice home, but to these filthy rich women, they were, like, almost felt sorry for Gina because she had to live in a, you know, a two-bedroom.
Yeah, the Real Housewives of Orange County had a little grit to it when it first started.
Oh, is that right?
Vicki Gunvalson, she was running her successful insurance business.
Yes.
Oh. At the same time of being on the show. So she was, you know, like, I got my stack of papers and I'm doing all this.
Yeah.
And I'm making it happen for myself.
Exactly. And I think they need to get rid of the glam squads. I don't need to see people getting their hair done and their makeup done. And here's the thing. They're getting their hair and makeup done, Steve, to, let's just say they're all renting a house in the Berkshires. And they're all staying in this big house. And they come down, like, just to have dinner. They're putting on gowns and makeup and having their hair done just to sit with their girlfriends for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, there's cameras there.
Yeah.
You got a little Real Housewives in you, though, Donna. A little Real Housewives of Bloomington. Rahab, Donna, you put lipstick on, a little eyeshadow to take the trash out or get the mail.
That is true.
You know, maybe there's something there. Maybe the Real Housewives of Bloomington, you and the other ladies from your cul-de-sac, get together. I'm sure you guys have some interesting, like, evening conversations on the patio in the summer. Let's get some cameras up on that.
I don't like that idea, but thanks.
It's in development. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. It would be funny to do some kind of project down and dirty like that.
No, Donna, put it back.
All right, let me ask you this. Would you rather do something like that, or would you rather do like a Dancing with the Stars type thing?
Dancing with the Stars.
I would quit right on the spot. I'd go, I no longer work here.
You'll be my partner. We can dance. We can do the foxtrot.
Look how easily you brought her back in, Holly. Yeah. That woman almost walked. We almost lost the Real Housewives of Bloomington Legacy Edition.
Oh, guys.
Okay, she's still here.
Anyway, Andy Cohen, by the way, meantime, is saying, like, don't believe everything you read in the Page Six.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Can I just tell you something really quick? I finished the first season of a show called The Shining Girls, which is based on a book. I don't know what I think about it. Okay. I was kind of hooked for a little while. Then I'm like, what is this? This is Jamie Bell, who you might remember as Billy Elliot back in the day.
Oh.
He plays a creepy killer. Elizabeth Moss. Elizabeth Moss plays one of his victims. She's a survivor, a journalist. And at first it was kind of interesting. Then it was kind of annoying. First of all, Elizabeth Moss, she's just doing her role in Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, is it a lot of eye twitching?
Yes, and a lot of, like, resting bitch face. Oh. You know, there's a lot of that. But it's a murder mystery, and it, like, time jumps, and it's, like, time bending, and then it's confusing, but it's about the effects of a traumatic occurrence and how it can affect someone throughout life. But it's also about resilience. I can't even say I recommend it as much as I want to know if there's anybody else out there who watched it, because I've not heard any buzz about this show whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, you know why? I mean, it's tough for a show. I think there are a lot of great shows that don't trend on Twitter.
Yeah.
But it's so easy for the trending shows. But I get it. Then you kind of feel out of it, because you're looking around. You know, you could say, hey, did you watch Wednesday? And it feels like 5 out of 10 people watch Wednesday. But hey, did you watch The Shining Girls? And half the people have never,
like, what is that,
heard of it,
right? You know? And this one's like a slow burn. I would, if you liked The OA, or if you liked Severance, you might like this show, because it's weird like that. Like, it's doing, you're not just like in life as we know it, but things change and the year changes. It's like a quantum leapy kind of thing. Mm. Anyway, I'm not going to watch a second season, but I just needed to talk about that and get it off my chest. Thank you.
Safe place.
Kind of supernatural. Bye.
Are you done? Okay, because usually you're done when you say thank you, but you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. How about this? Why don't you stick around? Because after the break, things have been seen and things need to be said. Is there an actress who is about to get unnominated for an Oscar? I saw the story this morning. I hadn't ever read anything about this before. I don't know if the two of you knew about this or not. I'll tell you which of the leading ladies could get unnominated today for the Oscar. We'll get into that when we return. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk. Hey, friends, what's up? Stevie Boy here for my buddies at the Canopy Group. Listen to this email that I got last night. Oh, this is so cool. It's from Heidi. I've told you about Heidi before. Here's what she says. Hey, I'm the one who saved over $1,200 a year switching to the Canopy Group while getting better coverage. Well, I just had a water leak in the basement 6 months into our new contract with them. From the first call to the new insurance company, to the adjuster actually visiting the house, to the confirmation of, hey, you've got a check in the bank, 3 business days. No one has ever been that impressive. We can now move forward with the contractor with no issue. Super impressive. This is what I've been telling you about when they have customers all the time. Could be you today if you go to thecanopygroup.com. They switch out. The Canopy Group turns to their 16 insurance companies. They say, fight for their business. Give them better coverage at a better price. Maybe you could save $1,200 too. Never know. TheCanopyGroup.com.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, where talk is fun. Woo, I'm stalling for a second here, guys.
Absolutely. Just deal with me, man. Just stall as long as you want, my friend.
All right, say something.
Hi, it's Tuesday. The time now is 9:47. I have a story. I saw a thing this morning, and I hadn't seen this thing before, and I said, I need to say something. It's my duty. I'm duty bound.
Hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh?
Time for If You See Something, Say Something with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
I subscribe to a daily email newsletter. It's called The Morning Brew. Have I ever mentioned it?
Only a million times.
One of their sub-stories in their quick-to-read five-minute email says, entertainment, the Oscars might take back a nomination. And I said, put me down for a, say what now? The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences will meet today to determine whether to rescind Andrea Riseborough's Best Actress nomination. And if it does happen, it would be the Academy's most art indie darling move of all time. Anti-indie darling move of all time, excuse me. This woman, Riseborough, her nomination for her performance in To Leslie was a shock when it was announced, as the film had seemingly, as they write, less heat than some Roku originals. To Leslie, how much do you think it made at the box office, Donna?
I'm going to say $5,000, Bob.
$28,000. Not exactly an Avatar 2. But in the waning days of the nominations voting period, endorsements poured in from stars like Jennifer Aniston, Kate Winslet, and Edward Norton. Cate Blanchett, also a nominee, even mentioned Riseborough in her Critics' Choice Award acceptance speech. Huh. So you might ask, what is the issue? Well, there are many rules involved in Oscars voting, and in its campaign to receive votes, To Leslie may have violated a few. Potential issues are a rule against contacting voters directly and encouraging promotion, and a rule against singling out competing nominees by name. If you step back from all this, the Morning Brew concludes saying, most insiders predict that Riseborough's nomination will be upheld, but some in the industry are upset that it takes away a place for lauded performances from black actresses like Danielle Deadwyler and Viola Davis to be celebrated. Nominations have only been rescinded 9 times in the history of the Oscars and never for an acting nomination. Don, I'm going to look you square in the eyes and ask this question. And this is a safe place. Your reputation's already tarnished. Nothing at risk here. Prior to this story, had you ever heard of Andrea Riseborough, and did you know she had been nominated for an Oscar?
No, negative to both questions. Now I kind of want to see the movie. It looks interesting. Mark Maron's in it.
Oh, your crush. You love Mark Maron.
Allison Janney's in this.
I bet it's a wonderful performance. And I get what they're doing, the folks at To Leslie. If it made $28,000 at the box office, you could understand why they would say, wait, she's so good in this. What could we possibly do? What connections do we have? Who could we reach out to? But apparently there's a little gray area about these conversations that were had and whether or not they are, in fact, violations of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences rules. And so we will wait to see. I suppose the question would be, and I don't think we'll get to it, at least not based on that reading of that article, if she were to have her nomination rescinded, would they then say, is it kind of like the all-star game voting in sports? Then they put up a reserve and say, okay, well, congratulations, Viola Davis. You've now been nominated.
Wow. If I were Viola Davis, I'd probably not feel great about that, first of all. But can you just repeat, just so it's clear, because this movie was critically acclaimed. Just nobody saw it.
Nobody saw it.
Except the critics. So,
and it's the way that they marketed it. Specifically, I think the Academy is targeting a social media post from To Leslie that directly compared Andrea Riseborough's performance to that of Cate Blanchett.
Okay.
And that apparently is an Academy no-no.
I see.
In their rules.
Referencing other nominees by name.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so now they're going to go back into the Academy kitchen and have a discussion on that.
Got it.
Although I have been reading in the trades, most likely Andrea Riseborough is going to keep her nomination.
She's not going to win, but she's going to... I mean... So she just broke some rules, or her people, her camp, broke some rules on how to market this.
Maybe they would say bent.
Yeah.
Push the envelope. Maybe they were a little unaware. I don't know how well in the know her camp is, or how well in the know they are of the Academy rules.
Yeah. Well, and it was pretty obvious, this marketing campaign for Two Leslie, because all of a sudden, all of these A-list celebrities, a couple of weeks before the Oscar nominations, were praising this movie, saying how great it is, pushing out the trailer, doing all of these things that were like, this is sus.
So
whatever is happening here, what is going on? I mean, fair play if this is how you're going to market your movie, but it was like, okay, what's the deal with this?
Do you think there was anything that happened behind the scenes? Like, hey, if let's pick a name from this list. Hey, Jennifer Aniston, go give a public shout out for Andrea Riseborough's performance in Two Leslie, and in exchange, blank, blank, blank.
I don't know if that would necessarily be true, as much as maybe you have friends who worked on the film who just asked for a little hand, you know, a hand in getting the word out there, using your platform to help a pal out.
And that being said, people genuinely like the movie Two Leslie. It's not getting bad reviews. It's just, how do you get a small little picture out in front of all these eyeballs?
Yeah, I want to know where to see this movie now.
Two Leslie. Yeah, great question.
Let's find out. Let's pass it on. Let's all watch it.
I will now say something about Morgan Wallen.
Okay.
Who's bumper music, the song that he sings on that, I really like.
Really
I was
good.
Talking to you, I was like, Donna, I think I like Morgan Wallen. I think it's the only song I've ever heard of his, but man, he's got a cool voice.
And he's got an album coming out, I believe.
Early March, first week of March. I was taken aback by this number, 36 tracks on the album.
Is it a double album?
What a great question.
They have double albums?
This just seems so excessive. So then it made me look up, what are the most tracks ever on an album? 446.
What?
It was achieved by Mark Lee and the Pocket Gods, with the album titled 500 by 30 Morse Code Days and Lockdown. That was released on the 1st of May in the year 2021.
Now, what were you going to do? What else were you going to do?
I mean,
guys, should we cap it? We're at 411. songs.
Well, you know, it's, I don't think it's any different than Taylor Swift putting out two albums in a week, you know, with, you know, 14 tracks on each during the pandemic.
I wonder, this Morgan Wallen album with 36 tracks, are some of the tracks going to be like little 30-second, like, interlude, walk to stage, where you just hear like a little twanging guitar and footsteps just and a vocal warm-up?
Pickup truck!
Yeah.
That's the end of the song.
Oh, God.
That's
riding shotgun. By the way, you can watch Two Leslie. You can rent it for $6.99 on iTunes, Amazon Prime, Google Play, YouTube. There you go.
Holly Roberts is out. Producer Mike is in. Dirt Alert and Music News.